over NBC's coast-to-coast network of independent affiliated stations, the University of Chicago Roundtable. Be sure to listen for a special announcement at the close of today's program describing how you can participate in NBC's University of the Air by joining Roundtable home study courses. We present Louis Wirth of the Department of Sociology of the University of Chicago. Mr. Wirth.
In his State of the Union message to the 81st Congress in January 1949, just 3 weeks ago, President Truman said that the driving force behind our progress was our faith in democratic institutions, that the promise of equal rights and equal opportunities, which the founders of our republic proclaimed to their countrymen and the world, embodied that faith, and that the fulfillment of this promise is among the highest purposes of government. The civil rights proposals, he said, that I made to the 80th Congress, I now repeat to the 81st Congress. I stand squarely behind these proposals. Joining me in today's University of Chicago roundtable discussion, should President Truman's civil rights program be adopted, are Senator Alan J. Ellender, Democrat of Louisiana, and Senator Hubert Humphrey, Democrat of Minnesota. Do you agree, Senator Ellender, that these 10 points that the President mentioned to you in his message last year, and that he said he was still behind, embody the civil rights program as you see it?
Yes, Mr. Wirth, I do. There are many for which I am for, and some I'm not. I would like to state that especially three of them are very provocative and I presume will consume a lot of time in Senate debate. In order to accomplish his objectives, the President would have the Congress pass laws usurping the authority of the states to establish the qualifications of its voters. A right expressly guaranteed to the states by the United States Constitution. He would make lynching a federal crime so that if a lynching occurred, federal authorities could go into a state, supplant its local police officers, prosecute those officers, and even bring civil suit for damages against the county officials.
Well, you say then that one of the important points in the program, Senator Ellender, is anti-lynching legislation.
Yes.
Do you agree, Senator Humphreys? Or are there any other points that you think are the part of the heart of this program?
Well, I do agree, Mr. Wirth, that one of the important points of the program is anti-lynching legislation. Of course, the anti-poll tax, or as the President put it, providing more adequately the right to vote or guaranteeing the right to vote. Then, of course, the Fair Employment Practices legislation, which the President called for. I do think this ought to be said, that President Truman didn't just pull this program out of thin air. This program is the result of a considerable amount of study and investigation of the sociological pattern of the community pattern of America. And the President's Commission, or Committee on Civil Rights, made an exhaustive study of all matters that pertain to civil rights in this country and recommended this program. And the President, in a very courageous manner, presented the entire program to the Congress of the United States, and I stand four square behind him. I think it's a great effort to strengthen our democracy.
This program on civil rights legislation that the President proposed, then, is part of the platform on which he ran. It's also part of the platform of the Democratic Party and, incidentally, also of the Republican Party, is it not? Senator Ellender?
That's correct, Mr. Wirth. He so advocated it throughout the country.
And might we say that his election was in part an endorsement of that program?
Well, I would say so, Mr. Wirth. I imagine there might be some disagreement here on that. However, it was very evident to me that in some of the key states of the nation, where there is a considerable, where there are considerable numbers of people that would be directly affected by an active civil rights program, that the President carried those strategic states. And I look upon this election as a great mandate to the humanitarian purposes that the President outlined.
Well, Mr. Wirth, I desire to say this, that if the records in all states were looked into as to the votes taken on November 2nd, it would show that the states of the Midwest, where a great deal of farmers are, probably won the election for the President.
You don't refer to my state, Senator Ellender, in where Chicago is located, which
well,
has a good many
industrial... I think Illinois went for the President.
Certainly
the
did.
The whole state did. Even South Illinois, that's predominantly Republican, went for the President. I would say this, that I don't believe that the election means that the Congress would have the right or has received from the president a dictation that this must be done.
Well, may I just say a word about that, Mr. Wirth? I don't think that any one issue was controlling in this election. I've heard so many people say that the president received a mandate for this or a mandate for that, and I've heard many people say that this group won the election or that group was the decisive factor. Now, very frankly, I think this last election, if we must talk about it, and I don't want to talk too much about it, was a clear indication that the American people can think about program and vote on program and know exactly what they're doing when they make that kind of a decision. And that's one of the reasons the farmers voted as they did.
Well, one of the points, then, I think we should discuss here today on this University of Chicago roundtable is why this program should either be enacted or not enacted. Now, I take it from your statement, certainly at the Democratic National Convention, where you made an eloquent plea, that you are for this program, Senator Humphrey.
Yes, indeed, I'm for this program. I'm for this program because I think that it means the extension of our democratic way of life.
And, Senator Ellender, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm for most of the program, except the enactment of a federal statute to permit people to vote in states. I'm against an anti-lynching bill, and I'm also opposed to this FEPC bill. Now, if you desire for me to state why I'm opposed, I can give you that.
Well, there might be two reasons. One might be that you're opposed to them on principle, and the other is that you're opposed to them because they're inexpedient measures to carry them out. I don't know which it is.
Well, I'm opposed to three of the measures because they're unconstitutional. I'm for preserving our Constitution.
Well, may I just interrupt there? I would like to say that, of course, the matter of constitutionality is always a debatable point. And the only way we ever determine what is constitutional is ultimately by the courts of this country and the great body of our court known as the Supreme Court. It is for that reason I am perfectly willing to acknowledge that there are honest differences of opinion about the constitutionality of some of the legislation. But because of that, may I say that we ought to pass some of this legislation, in fact, all of it, and if it is unconstitutional, the court will so determine. If it is not, the court will determine.
Well, Mr. Wirth, it looks as though Senator Humphreys has forgotten his oath when he became a senator. He took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And I'm able to show now that the imposition of a poll tax statute by the Senate or by the Congress would be directly opposed to the Constitution.
Well,
it takes no Philadelphia lawyer to know this. Just a layman can read the Constitution and determine that for himself.
I want to say, Mr. Wirth and Senator Ellender, I of course am very much concerned about the oath that I took as a United States Senator. In fact, I'll never forget the great experience of taking that oath. And I am out to defend and uphold the United States Constitution. And may I say that there are times that men of great conviction and men of great legal learning have had wide differences of opinion about constitutionality. And in my point of view, and from my study of constitutional law, poll tax legislation is definitely constitutional, that lynching legislation, anti-lynching legislation is definitely constitutional, and fair employment practices legislation is definitely constitutional. And may I say that the Attorney General of the United States, who is the advisor on constitutional questions to the President of the United States, feels that these legislative matters are constitutional.
Well, now, Mr. Wirth, I'm sure that Senator Humphreys remembers the famous case of Susan Anthony, where she suffered imprisonment because she tried to vote in the state of Vermont, and the Vermont legislature prevented women from voting. Now, how did that great lady accomplish the suffrage for the entire country? By going to the United States, to the Congress, and asking for a constitutional amendment.
Well, these are ways and means that you senators are going to be arguing about in the next few days and weeks in the Senate, I'm sure. But the fundamental question I think we want to discuss here is whether it is desirable to reach the objectives that these forms of legislation are designed to achieve. Now, do we want all of our citizens to vote in elections and to be able to hold office? Do we want them to be free from the threat of violence and actual violence as lynching exemplifies? or do we want them to be free to seek the jobs for which they are qualified, irrespective of race, color, creed, or national origin? Seems to me those are the questions to which we ought to address ourselves for the moment.
Well, indeed, those are the questions, and we can argue the legalism of this for hours, and we shall not go into that. I definitely, of course, am of the opinion, and I believe that my colleague, Senator Ellender, must be, that all people in this country should have the right to vote. I also believe, of course, that every person should have a guarantee of personal security. And surely, the very creed of American life, the impetus of this whole way of life of ours, is opportunity, and equal opportunity, and fair opportunity, fair employment opportunities. And it's on that basis that I stand for this legislation.
And you, Senator Ellender?
Well, Mr. Worth, I'm for that if it's done in a legal way. Our forefathers, if you read the history of our Constitution, some of them even went so far as to state that if the right of the state to declare who should vote was denied, the probabilities are that our Constitution would have never been adopted.
But Senator,
and we've made marvelous progress. That was a time when all states had poll taxes. It was done the legal way, and today, out of our 48 states, only 7 of them have the poll tax law. And it strikes me very forcibly that within the next 4 or 5 years, that all states will pass a law whereby the poll tax issue will no longer exist.
Well, I take it then, Senator Ellender, that you, too, are against white supremacy as a principle.
White supremacy? Well, white leadership. I would say this. Now, you bring up the subject. I would say this. That the Negro himself can't make progress unless he has white leadership. Now, if you call that supremacy, why, suit yourself. But I say this, that the Negro race as a whole, if permitted to go to itself, will invariably go back to barbaric lunacy.
I would like to take sharp exception to that most recent statement, Mr. Worth. I would like to say this, that to me, it's a great tribute to the inherent abilities and the capacities of the American Negro to see the remarkable progress that they have made against all these tremendous obstacles. It's only been since 1863 that we've had emancipation for the American Negro. And despite that, some of our most learned scholars, some of our outstanding artists and statesmen, some of our leading people in the musical world, in the field of literature, have come right out of the Negro community. And surely in our great war plants and in our peacetime factories, we're beginning to find that the American Negro as one group, and by the way, this civil rights legislation isn't just identified with the Negro, and I want to get on that as a broad point. But these men and women are beginning to show great capacity for production, for good living, and for learning, and for citizenship.
I want to say this to my good friend, Mr. Humphrey, Senator Ellender speaking, that the chief agitators of all this program are the colored people themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, I've been in the Senate for the past 12 years, and I can't see anything but politics in it. Both of our major parties have been doing all in their power to catch the Negro vote from the North. I know this. In fact, I think I know it, that we have 8 states in the North wherein the Negroes are dominant. I won't say dominant, but however they vote, so the election goes. And it's an attempt on the part of Republicans and Democrats to capture that Negro vote that causes the president to come out with this so-called civil rights program on the three issues that we're now discussing.
As to the advancement of an individual's economic and social security, his own social status, that he must have political freedom and political action, the opportunity for political participation. And to me, if the American Negro or any minority group in this country is going to elevate their status, have a chance to lift themselves up by the bootstraps, they must have something to say about the political process and the political program which comes out for the nation.
If you allow me, Senator Ellender, I should like to say that from my field of study, insofar as we have any knowledge at all in respect to what you said about the Negro and what would happen if he weren't supervised by whites, that we have no reason to believe that the members of any one racial group can't learn to do what every other racial group has learned to do, given the opportunity, given the encouragement, given the right and the facilities to go ahead. And I think history in the case of the Negro and other minorities in this country has demonstrated that.
Well, to some extent, Mr. Worth, you're correct. And I'm not an old man, but I've noticed a good deal of progress in my state. And I don't want to hamper that progress. I want it to continue as we've been carrying on. Just as certain as I'm speaking, if the Congress should make the mistake to enact legislation of this character instead of assisting the colored people of the South, it will hurt them a great deal.
But, Senator Elner, it isn't merely the colored people of the South. It is, as Senator Humphreys has said, all of the minorities in this country. And it is also this question, that those people in the South who were once in the South are now in the North. We've had millions of Negroes migrate to the northern and western cities. In Chicago, for instance, we have had in the last 7 or 8 years an increase of at least 100,000 Negroes over what we had. We have about 390,000 Negroes in Chicago. Well, so it is our problem, too, Senator Elner, not merely yours in Louisiana.
I want to get the discussion of civil rights legislation and civil rights program out of the sectional basis, or out from sectional consideration. I have stated before, and I want to state it again, that there is no part of the United States of America that is without guilt or without sin insofar as discrimination is concerned, whether that discrimination is social, whether it's economic or political. Now, I know, and everyone else knows, that in every part of America, in the North, the West, the East, and the South, we've had these abuses of civil rights. And what I'm talking about, and I've said so many times, and I want to say again to my friend Senator Elner of Louisiana, that we're not making a direct frontal attack upon the people of the South. By the way, the people of the South have made great strides in these fields. That I recognize. I want to say that we've had discrimination in the North. We've had it on the West Coast. We've had it in the New England states and in the Eastern Seaboard states. And surely we need to be thinking not in terms of sectional interests, but in terms of the whole national welfare.
Now, Mr. Senator Humphreys, you ought to read the congressional record of past debates on this question. The anti-poll tax bill is certainly leveled at the South because the states that do have poll taxes are in the South. And your anti-lynching bill is one that's also directed to the South.
Oh,
absolutely no question about it. Why don't you put your mobs in Chicago and over in California and over in New York, put them all on and let your county officials be held responsible and see how many votes you're going to get in the Senate if you so frame your bill as to put that. Now, I don't mean to say now that I would be for a bill of that character because it's my honest judgment that it's within the state to do that and not the federal constitution. Unless a federal question, of course, is involved.
I want to say, in reference to Senator Ellender's remarks, that there are seven states in the South that still have poll taxes. Now, I want those states to go ahead, and surely I would be a full support of their going ahead and removing those poll taxes themselves.
They're doing it now, Senator.
And they are indeed. And I just want to be sure that poll tax remains off. Now, another thing I want to say, as far as lynching, that's a tag that we have on legislation. What I'm talking about is legislation that guarantees personal security. And you're 100% right that we've had mob violence in many other areas of the country, and I am just as much against mob violence that isn't appropriately prosecuted, where there isn't due process of law, where the persons that are involved are not brought to the bar of justice. In the North, I'm just as much to see that it takes place in the North as I am in the South or as I am in the East or the West. And I say on that piece of legislation particularly, that surely has universal application in this country, and no one can justify the fact that an individual citizen of the United States is not given the protection of due processes of law of this country of ours.
Senator Elner, you have said that the states ought to have these rights to carry through these forms of legislation in matters such as the suffrage and segregation of the public services, some of which, by the way, are supported by federal aid.
Yes, they've been doing it since their inception.
And the administration of justice. Now, granted that the states are sincere in that demand, doesn't it seem, though, to be the height of hypocrisy to grant the states the right to deny to any portion of their citizens on account of race, creed, or color their elementary rights as citizens of the United States? And isn't that, in this case, the avowed purpose of the states' rights argument?
No. We had the poll tax in Louisiana. We did away with it. Today, Negroes are permitted to vote if they want to. We don't deny that right. And the same holds true in most of the southern states. Now, there has been an effort since the Civil War of course, to maintain white supremacy because of the fact that there were so many colored people in our midst who were uneducated and who were not far removed from savagery. And, of course, the South did try to protect itself in the past. But I want to say to you that in the last 30 years, just to show the progress being made in education, let us say, there is more money spent today in Louisiana to educate our colored people than there was 30 years ago to educate both our colored and whites. Now, if that doesn't spell progress, I'd like to know what spells progress.
But incidentally, Senator Ellender, the whole human race isn't too far removed from savagery. Not
merely
one part.
But the Negro is so close that he almost has a foot in Africa.
But every person starts his life anew, irrespective of the people who went before him.
Now, I didn't want to go into any personalities, Mr. Worth. You brought it on yourself, sir.
Yeah.
And I don't care to engage in this debate and call out personalities.
Well, all I want to say is that as far as going back to something primitive, the whole human race is pretty primitive still. We've got a long ways to go. And what advances we have made are sometimes offset by setbacks.
Yes, but now, if the Lord... If
is
the
there
Lord
any
had
chance
had,
for somebody else to get in on this?
I would say this, in answer to Mr. Worthy, if the Lord had desired to make everybody equal and everything else, he wouldn't have made colored boy, colored men, red men, and yellow men, and white men, and so forth. What we're trying to do in the South, irrespective of what you say, is to try and assist the colored people. And if let alone, we're going to succeed, but don't try to force us to do it.
I must get in on this conversation and this very fine roundtable by, again, trying to bring all of us back to the thought that we're not just talking about the American Negro. We've had Ku Klux Klanism in this country. We've had anti-Catholicism in this country. We've had and we do have anti-Semitism in this country. And believe me, I'm one of the Americans that believes that every person, regardless of his race, his color, his religious faith, or his creed, has a right to have the full and equal protection of the laws of this United States and has the right for all equal opportunities, whether they're economic, political, or social. Now, I reiterate that we have had demonstrations in America where we have had even political parties based upon anti-Catholicism, and I speak as a Protestant. We've had demonstrations in this country where we've had vicious anti-Semitism, almost to the point of the ghetto. And we've surely had demonstrations in America on the race as far as the American Negro is concerned. So what we're talking about, and I hope that the American people, Mr. Worth and Senator Ellender, will quit talking about civil rights as if it were directed against just one segment of the American people. Because it isn't. Civil rights sometimes are denied to people who are poor and they're white. Civil rights are sometimes denied to people who are rich, and they may be of a different religious faith. Now, I'm of the opinion that there is no justification, surely no moral justification in my religious faith, and no legal, and let me say political justification in my political philosophy for such kind of action. Just one question to Senator Ellender. You say things are improving?
Yeah.
How about the situation in Georgia, where I recall that my distinguished friend down there, the former governor, Ellis Arnold, fought for legislation to eliminate the poll tax. And now I find, according to a recent report I have here just before me, an article by Thomas L. Stokes, who is a well-known columnist, and he points out that, and I would like to quote from that, now along comes Governor Herman Talmadge, determined to restrict the basic right of franchise. He has proposed to the legislature, which he controls, that it impose an educational test which can be distorted, as it has in other southern states, to prevent Negroes from voting. He proposes restoration of the poll tax. Georgia's Secretary of State estimates that this would reduce voters by one half. Now, how do you feel about that?
I'm against it.
Thank you. That's a very fine and forthright statement.
I have pending before the Congress now a bill that would cure all of this. Let's do it the constitutional way. I've joined Senator Holland to write into our Constitution the proposition. Now, if we do it that way, I'm for it. But I think under present laws, it's within the province of the state to do it and not the federal constitution.
I want to just make one proposal, constructive proposal. I imagine our time is just about running out here. I'd just like to say this, that one of the things we need to keep in mind, or a part of this general program of civil rights, is the real substance of it, which has been pointed out by Senator Ellender, is education, is health facilities, hospitals, is good wages, minimum wages, and the opportunity for people to protect their living standards, social security and housing. These things are all important. Now, in line with that, since the senator from Louisiana and the senator from Minnesota do not agree on such things as national FEPC, national anti-poll tax, and national anti-lynching legislation, Senator, I am going to introduce a bill into the United States Senate, and I want to have you give me your support. And I want everyone, of course, to give support. A bill to establish in the government of the United States a permanent federal commission on civil rights. This commission will have the following powers: a fact-finding agency concerned about the status of civil rights in our country. This commission should be ready to aid in preventing conflicts and in the solution of problems involving civil rights. That is, it should act as a conciliatory service. This commission should be prepared to offer recommendations for the improvement of civil rights practices on a local level. And I emphasize the local level, state and national level. The commission should call attention to emerging civil rights problems on the national and international level, like Mr. Wirth mentioned, migration of large numbers of American Negroes into northern cities.
And if the cotton picker comes around, we'll have much more of that, moving out
That's
of the
right.
South into the north.
And then this commission should consult with state and local and private agencies working in the civil rights area and assist these agencies. And finally, it should seek to improve the civil rights practices of governmental agencies and make reports to the president.
Now, aside from what is before you, gentlemen, in the Senate of the United States on these specific questions, is it not clear that if these bills are defeated, if they are introduced, they will be defeated in part because of the power that you now have as senators of unlimited debate? And isn't it necessary, therefore, to curtail this unlimited debate so that we can judge these issues on their merit?
I surely believe that we must curtail the unlimited right of filibuster, and I will stand that way and vote that way.
Well, the eyes of the world are upon us, and our deeds will demonstrate more than our words whether we mean democracy genuinely.
Thank you, gentlemen. You have been listening to the University of Chicago Roundtable discuss should President Truman's civil rights program be adopted, with Senator Alan J. Ellender, Democrat of Louisiana, Senator Hubert Humphrey, Democrat of Minnesota, and Louis Wirth of the Department of Sociology of the University of Chicago, and President of the American Council on Race Relations, as participants. This week's roundtable pamphlet includes the full text of today's discussion, reading lists, special charts and illustrations, and questions for analysis and discussion. Be sure to write for your copy and send 10 cents in coin with your order to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois. And now, a special announcement.
Here is an opportunity for you to become better informed and better able to answer such questions as: what is power politics? What are the alternatives to the Cold War? How can atomic energy be controlled? The University of Chicago Roundtable has prepared a special home study course in world politics to aid you in understanding the political problems of our time. This course provides you with a library of political materials and may be completed in your own home. It is a presentation of NBC's University of the Air. Write your local station or the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois, and ask for the leaflet explaining the course and how you can participate in Roundtable Home Study on World Politics. You may begin at any time. The course is open to all.